The Awesomely Awkward Adventures of Super Pizza, Chapter 9. I grabbed a dish rag and tied it around my face. Then, cutting out the eye holes, I tested it out as a mask. "You can do this," I whispered. "That's right, you can," a voice said. Iris stood there at the door, arms folded. "We've got to get a lock for that," I mumbled. "You're gonna be great," she yelled from across the room. "I'm still mad at you," I growled. But then I caught a glimpse of a picture on the wall. I was standing with my dad, working on a birdhouse together. I had lied to him today as well. I had promised him I would stay in our lair. How was I any different from Iris? We both had the same goal of saving the city, and we'd both lied in the process. "I'm sorry," she said. "I should have told you everything from the beginning. I forgive you." She whipped out her device and began playing a cheesy, sentimental song. "What are you doing?" I asked. "It's a touching moment. It needs touching music. Just stop, please." She blasted the emotional song even louder. "It's just that I have a hard time making friends. I don't really trust people. And since your dad is a villain, I made an assumption about you. I'm genuinely sorry, Tony."
Okay, listen. We have a mutant refrigerator to take down."
"Wait, we?" she asked. "Turning off the music?"
"Of course," I shot back. "Wait, you want me as your sidekick?"
Her eyes grew big. "No, not a sidekick, a partner. I mean, you've kind of been leading this mission the whole time." "But my parents are supervillains," she said. "That pretty much disqualifies me from being a hero."
"Wait, but so was my dad," I said.
"Fair enough, but I don't have superpowers," she said.
"Who cares? Lots of heroes don't have superpowers. We're a team."
She grinned. "We need to make our outfits and fast. And by fast, I mean quickly. I don't mean that we should stop eating, because if we did, we'd run out of energy. In fact, I'm just going to go ahead and grab one of these organic energy bars."
"Wait, stop," I warned her. "Ugh, hippie food. This tastes like birdseed," she said.
"It is birdseed. It's a block of birdseed. I told you that my dad works on birdhouses."
"Okay, but does he do bird condos? Does he do bird apartments?"
"Iris, I feel like you're stalling. What's going on?" I asked.
"Nothing. I'm used to being behind the scenes. This is my first time actually taking out a villain."
"Mine too," I said. "But we've got this, right?"
"We got this," she yelled. She ran into the kitchen and pulled out the scissors, cutting my dad's fanciest red velvet tablecloth from the table. She sketched out flames that rose up from two wings.
"What is that, Iris?" I asked.
"I'm not Iris. I'm Flaming Hot Wings," she said as she cut out the mask for herself. She ran outside and came back with a backpack.
"Yes, here it is, a set of flares. It goes with the motif. I mean, it's not quite flamethrower, but it's definitely not something that someone my age would normally have." She grabbed a grapple gun and a few hooks. Then she stood in front of the mirror and waved her cape. Sure enough, it looked like wings, or at least like a glider. "Flaming Hot Wings. Look, you are a hero. You ready to go?"
Almost, but you need a cape as well," she said.
"I don't need a cape," I shot back. "I can make a breakaway cape easily. Is there anything you could use? An old sheet of some kind? We can make it look like a napkin."
"That's it," I said. "My baby blanket. It was a napkin from when I was born or came to life or whatever," I said.
"It's probably too small," she pointed out.
"No, it probably grew as well."
I ran upstairs and climbed the ladder up to the attic. Sure enough, there was a box of baby items and the napkin, and it had grown.
It's probably grown stronger as well, Iris said, trailing behind me. We spent the next hour working on our hero outfits. At one point, Iris snapped at me for calling it a costume. Costumes are for pretending. This is life or death, Tony. The late afternoon turned into evening, and I began to wonder if Iris was actually stalling again. Should we go? I asked. Don't you think we should develop a plan? Iris asked. I think we should just go for it. People always create plans, and then those plans fail because you can't create a plan for chaos. You just have to figure things out on the fly. You're right. I plan. It's what I'm good at. I have an algorithm that can predict crimes before they happen. This isn't who I am. I'm not on the fly. And I sit here alone at home all day. This isn't who I am either. But we need to do this, I pointed out. You're right, Iris said, letting out a deep sigh. She pulled out her phone again and played an instrumental action song. Nope, no music, please, no music. But we need an intro and a catchphrase, she said. Okay, how about super pizza and flaming hot wings to the rescue? No, that won't work. That sounds like something someone would yell when the delivery guy shows up to a party. We need something way better. She snapped her fingers. Be wildly and unabashedly different, she yelled. That's a horrible catchphrase, I said. Too bad, she retorted. And with that, we ran out the door, down the driveway, over the hill, and toward the town. We were nearly out of breath when we reached the crumbled city center. Where is it? I asked. It'll find us, Iris said. Don't you think it's odd that the refrigerator waited 11 years to attack? I asked. I guess that's kind of odd, she shrugged her shoulders. And we never found out what the jar was that he was asking about. Well, you can ask that when we capture him, okay? I'll let you help with the interrogation when this is finished. And I'm wondering where he's been hiding for over a decade. I mean, something that big, a giant refrigerator, can't just be hiding in a home somewhere, I pointed out. My heart was racing. Yes, pizzas have hearts. With every step we took, my mind replayed all the warnings my dad had given me about not breaking my crust. The sun was setting as we marched into the town square. Where is it? I asked. It should have been here by now. Don't worry. We don't have to find it. It'll find you. What if it doesn't? I asked. It's after you, Tony. And I've got an idea for how we're going to confuse it. Iris gathered together chunks of wood from the rubble and pulled out a magnifying glass. You carry a magnifying glass? Look, when you're a detective, yes, you do. Or when you're pretending to be one, she said with a sly smile. She aimed it at a pile of papers and waited for a tiny flame to show up. The sun was setting, but we barely made it on time, and within a minute, she had put together a working fire. Don't you think it's a little warm for a campfire? I asked. I'm going to need you to act as a decoy. Just stand by the fire. Within a minute, maybe two or three, my arms started sweating a thick, oily grease. It's melting my limbs, I said. Just wait. She wiped the sweat off of her forehead. It's too hot. The flames grew higher and higher, brushing up against my crust. One more second, but it was hot. It was really hot. I know people like their pizzas to be wood-fired, but this is a little extreme, I said. Trust me, she answered. Eventually, the mutant fridge appeared in the distance. It flew through the park and dashed toward me. Stay still, she said. Easy for you to say, your legs aren't melting off. The fridge turned toward me, aimed its icy gun finger at my face, and blasted an ice bomb straight toward me. It exploded in steam. The fridge let out a stream of icy air. Everything was too steamy. We need to stop the ice rays, I said. Oh, they're not ice rays, she corrected me. Mathematically speaking, a ray continues forever. These are technically ice segments. A math lesson? Now? Really? It's always good time for math, she answered. Math is all around if you're paying attention. The fridge spun toward me in the steam, spraying its ice at the fire, but it was completely disoriented. We need to find a way to gunk up its ice gun, she said. I looked around for any kind of object that might work. Grass? It wasn't gunky enough. Dirt? It would just fire it out. Unless maybe the dirt turned to mud? I scratched my face and hawked a giant, brown, greasy loogie. This would have to do. If you've ever seen a pizza launch a snot rocket, that's about the nastiest looking thing on the planet. And I was standing there, holding it in my hand. I jumped up, but my legs were still too slow and stretchy. I spit another loogie into my hand. Hey, I need you to put it in the gun, I said. I'm not touching your booger. It's not a booger, I swear. Yeah, it is. It came from your mouth, she answered. But it's not. It's a ball of grease, okay? See, you just admitted that it's snot. No, I said it's not. Not it's snot. Gosh. Well, I'm not touching it, she said, shaking her head. No, I mean, it's grease. I wouldn't put it in the fridge's finger, but I can barely move. I need your help. The steam was disappearing. There's no time. Please just do it, I pleaded with her. Okay, she ran toward me and gagged as she picked up the glob of grease. This is disgusting. You don't have to eat the grease, I told her. Just stick it in the ice gun finger thingy. Iris aimed her grapple gun at the fridge and shot it forward. Clank! It missed by inches. She reeled it back and aimed it again. We're running out of time, I yelled as a bolt of ice crashed beside me. She pressed the trigger and the grapple gun shot the hook around the robotic refrigerator. All at once, she flew forward and landed on top of the fridge. Right then, the refrigerator whipped around and aimed its freezer gun at her face. My legs were like jelly, but I jumped toward her, propelling myself in the air and landing on its arm right as the ice sprayed out. My whole body seized up. The pain was excruciating.
Give me the bottle, the robot growled.
Grab my hand, Iris said. I stretched out my arm and noticed something. The cold air had actually snapped the cheese back into place. The pain was intense, but I was okay. My arm was still working. My right hand clasped her hand, and my other hand remained lodged in front of the ice gun. And meanwhile, my giant pizza body was dangling down below. I was stuck. I need you to let go so I can gunk up the gun, Iris said. I stared down below. It must have been a 30-foot drop. No way, I said. You've got to do it. There's no other option. My crust. I don't think it could handle it, I told her. Listen, I ran some calculations while we were in our lab. You can drop at least 40 feet and be fine. This is 32¼ feet. How do you know? I asked. Proportional reasoning. You calculate. I see. You're stalling. You're trying to get me to talk about math. You need to drop down, Super Pizza. I can do this. It's scary, but I can do this, I thought to myself. I can't do this, I said out loud. You have to, Iris said. And then all at once, I let go. It felt like an eternity as I fell down and eventually crashed on my face. I brushed off my pepperonis and looked around at my arms and I'm alive, I mumbled. Run, Iris screamed. I sprinted forward as fast as my cheesy legs could carry me. Iris hugged the giant metallic arm, edging closer to its freezer gun finger. I sprinted down around the fountain, ducking down as it sprayed ice bolts and lobbed ice bombs the size of softballs. They cracked around me. I'm getting closer, she yelled. The refrigerator and I paced back and forth around the giant circular fountain. He lunged left and right, juking back and forth, but I wasn't fooled. I matched all of his moves. I got it, she said, stuffing the greasy gunk into its robotic arm. The robot flailed all around, sending Iris flying into the field. But instead of falling, she glided down and landed on her feet like a crazed cat. From a distance, it really did look like flaming wings. We're good. We got this, she yelled. Use your cheese to your advantage, she yelled. Be weird. Be wildly and unabashedly different. That's not our catchphrase. Yes, it is, she yelled. And maybe she was right. This is my chance to be weird.